give a brief introduction to what we're going to be looking for as we learn through the Megillah. Again, we're going to base the explanation on the Pirush of the Gra on Megillas Rus. Unfortunately, on this particular Megillah, the Gra abandoned us halfway through. He only was Mepharis the first two Prakim for some reason. So, maybe he didn't have anything to say about it. I don't know. So he, what we have from the Gra, we're gonna try to speak out, and the later Prakim, I'm gonna speak out some of the Pirushim of the Malbim, together with Rashi and Chazal and the standard Mahalchim in the Psukim. Okay? So to start off, I just want to give the fundamental yesod that we're going to be looking for in the Megillah. Okay, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshat Beis, Os Yudalet, says, Amar Vizira, Megillah Zu, Ein ba lo tuma v'lo tara v'lo izer v'lo heter v'lama nichtava l'lamedcha kama schar tov l'gom l'chasad. Okay, so it says that this Megillah doesn't have any halachas, it doesn't have any tuma tara izer v'lo heter, doesn't teach any practical inyanim. So what's the purpose, what's the message that we're supposed to get from learning Megillas Rus? To understand the schar tov legomei chasadim, how much schar a person gets for gemilus chasadim. Okay, that's the yisod. So the schar is what we see that the Megillah ends off with, the descendants of Rus and Boaz was David HaMelech. So the malchus was what they were zocha to through the mida of gemilus chesed. So that's what we're going to be looking for as we go through the Megillah. Yeah.
Don't we learn Kinyan Chalipin?
Okay. Good point. Okay.
What?
Medrash Rabbah. Okay. So let's think a little bit about why Gemilus Chasadim is essential to the Megillah. So two aspects. One aspect is, why is that the central theme of the Megillas Rus that we read on Leil Shavuos, on the day of Shavuos? Why is this connected to Shavuos? And why is the schar for Gemilus Chesed Malchus? Why is the Malchus based up, and why is that the outcome of the Megillah that is a Yesod of Chesed? So the Rav Tzaddik says the connection to Shavuos, he brings, the Gemara says, that the Torah is Tchilaso Gemilus Chasadim and Sofo Gemilus Chasadim, that it starts with Hashem making the Begadim for Adam and Chava, and it ends with the Kfura of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says that you see that the central theme of the Torah also is Gemilus Chesed. So the Kabbalah's Torah is we're mekabel the Torah of Chesed with the appreciation of the central role of Chesed, right? That's what's called Kol Torah al Regel Achas, right? Sani Chaverch al Taseh, Edoch Pirusha Zil Gmor, right? That's the Yisod of Torah, is the central theme of Gemilus Chesed. Now, specifically, Legabi Malchus, we see this Yisod of the centrality of Chesed. There are three Ksarim. There's Keser Torah, Keser Guna, and Keser Malchus. And the Keser Malchus, the way they line up is each one is connected a different kli in the Beis HaMikdash, connected the Aron, the Mizbeach, and the Shulchan. And the Shulchan is connected the Keser of Malchus. And those correspond also to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. The Aron is the Torah, the Mizbeach is Avodah, and the Shulchan is the Yesod of Gemilus Chasadim. The Shulchan is the Shefa of Bracha that comes into the world, and that is the yisod of malchus. That's what the job of the melech is, the ultimate gomel chesed. The melech has achrayas to look after the needs of the entire nation. And therefore, the yisod of gemilus chesed is the foundation of malchus. Okay, so if we have a megillah that's kulo chesed, it tells us the schar of gomel chesedim. The schar of gomel chesedim is malchus, because that's the midah that the melech needs, is to be the ultimate gomel chesed who does chesed for the entire nation. Now, just to take that one step further, the chesed that the melech does is not stam good deeds, not just nice things to do, but the job of the melech is to take care of each and every individual according to his own kochos and his own needs to get the entire nation to run, to function properly, each one doing what they're good at, each one fulfilling the role that they're meant to fulfill. And that requires not just general gemilus chesed, but a specific midah called ayin tova. Needs a person who has a good eye, which has really three different meanings, which all kind of coincide. The ayin tova generally is taken to mean generosity, okay, being generous, being a giving person. Okay, ayin tova also means to see the good in others. Okay, and they obviously go hand in hand. That a person who always sees the good in others has a more benevolent attitude towards those people. And the simple shot, ayin tova is a good eye, meaning somebody who looks at things carefully and sees deeply into the situation. And that also, the yesod is that every Jew has this nekuda pnimis of kedusha, and therefore, the deeper that a person looks, that be'emes, they'll find the good in each and every Jew. And therefore, the koach that the melech needs is the koach of ayin tova, to see the good in every person, and to see how to guide that person to reach his shleimus, to see the potential, and to realize what that person is capable of accomplishing, and give him the encouragement and the opportunity to fulfill that potential. So that's the midah that we see by Malchus. The bracha to Yehuda, when Yaakov Avinu is Mevarach Yehuda with the bracha of Malchus, the Lashon he says, it says, I'm sorry, but the bracha is a Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Chachlili Einai Miayin. Which bracha is it? Do we have Bakari?
Yeah.
Which one? From Yaakov, I'm sorry. So the bracha to Yehuda, when he gives him the bracha of Malchus, it says, Chachlili Einai Miayin. That your eyes, it's a strange word, Chachlili, the Gemara darshans, that it's a lashon of Chiyuch. Chach is a lashon of Chiyuch. Chiyuch, smile at me with your eyes. Now, just stop a little aside here. People think that you smile with your mouth, right? But in fact, we had an unusual situation that my wife just recently gave. We had our son who was born, and it was a cesarean, and the midwife delivering was actually a close friend of the family. So she had her iPhone or whatever, and she was taking pictures the whole time of what was going on. So we got, like, you know, the video was like all like bloody and gooey, and they like handed it to me. Anyway, the kids are. So I was wearing this sterile mask thing, and I was thinking, well, what a waste! They're taking pictures, but you can't see me because I'm wearing this mask on me. But like when you look at the pictures, like you can see a smile in the eyes. Like the eyes are really where the smile is. So anyway, that just brought that lesson home. But that's what you see in the Chazal, that the chiyuch is really in the eyes. And the chiyuch of chachlili is a lashon of li, to me. Smile, li. Smile to me, meaning a smile isn't just a general, it's focused. It's a person, nekabel kolam b'sefer panim yafos means that you show appreciation for that person as an individual. And it's emphasized, chiyuch li, a double emphasis on that it's a personal smile directed at you. Okay, so the einayim of the king know how to appreciate and draw out the best in each and every Jew. Okay, and that's exactly what the pasuk says about David HaMelech. That it's the pasuk describes when Shmuel is choosing David HaMelech to be king. The way the pasuk describes him is that he says Yefei Einayim V'Tov Ro'i, that he had good eyes and good vision. Okay, so what's that talking about? It's exactly this nekuda. It was the ability to see the good in every Jew and to help them to bring out their potential. Okay, so that is the yesod that we're looking for, is the yesod of Gmilus Chasadim together with the specific ability to see everything with a good eye. So I guess it's still as part of the introduction. So Megillas Rus, the name Rus. There are several different drushes in Chazal what the mashmos of the word Rus, but one of the drushes is it says Shirasa b'divrei Naami b'divrei Chamosa, that she saw into the words of her mother-in-law. So it's not clear what exactly the emphasis of the re'iyah. In other words, she listened to her mother-in-law. She followed her mother-in-law. What does it mean she looked into? So it seems like it's this nekuda of seeing beneath the surface. In other words, she heard that Naomi was telling her to turn back, but she understood that really it would be that the real chesed would be to go along with her. So she looked beneath the surface. She saw in depth that was the koach of Ayin Tova that was needed for this precursor of bringing about the birth of the Malchus and Melech Mashiach. Okay, so now let's start going through the Pesukim inside. Okay, it's not going to be as detailed as we did when we did the Megillas Esther, but we'll try to hit on a few important haras of the Meforshim, and specifically focus on this Bechina of the Koach of Chesed and Ayin Tova that we see in the Megillah. Okay, actually, one second. I'll start up going for my notes. Okay. Vayhi bimei shvod hashovtim, vayhi rav ba'aretz, vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda lagor b'stei Moav, hu v'ishto u'shnei banav. Okay, so it was the time of shvod hashovtim, meaning that there wasn't yet Malchus. Okay, that seems to be an introduction to the fact that the whole yesod of this Megillah is going to be bringing about the birth of the line of Malchus. So it's introduced by the fact that they hadn't yet achieved this Madriga of Malchus in Klal Yisrael. And there was a famine. Why was there a famine? So the Gra explains that Hashem is misnag with Klal Yisrael, mita keneged mita. And he says that when Klal Yisrael do chesed with each other, then Hashem is me'orer to be mashpia chesed on Klal Yisrael. So therefore, when you see a Rav, he says that the cause of famine is a lack of chesed in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's the introduction, is that we were in a state of shoftim. There was no malchus. There was no broad oversight of chesed. Everything was looking out for themselves. Each person was fending for themselves, not helping other people. That's what brought about the situation of Rav. Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda. So an ish is always a lashon of chashivus from beis lechem Yehuda. Lagur b'stei Moav. He went to live in the fields of Moav. Hu v'ishto u'shnei banav, together with his wife and two sons. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech. His name was Elimelech. Okay, so Elimelech, the Gemara Darshins, is a lashon Eloi Yavo Malchus. In other words, there was some havamina that he thought, or that he was in some way a potential candidate for Malchus. Okay, so we see the Chazal say that that their family was very wealthy, that and they were considered the leaders of the generation. They were from Shevet Yehuda, so they had the potential for Malchus. But what did Elimelech do when Klal Yisrael was in a state of a famine, a state of intense need? He skipped town, right? And literally, that's how Rashi explains it. The lashon Rashi says is that he had sarus ayin. okay, exactly this Nakuda. He was Tsar Ayin. He had a tunnel vision. He was only focused on his own family, his own good. It said he had no problem. He wasn't starving. He was one of the wealthiest people in Klal Yisrael. So why did he have to leave Eretz Yisrael because of Rav? Because it disturbed him that all the Aniyim were coming and bothering him to give them food. So he wanted to just live a nice, comfortable life in Moab and not have responsibility for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we're seeing that what was setting up the Tsaros was all that from the top down, from the leaders down, there was a lack of chesed and a lack of Ayin Tova in Klal Yisrael. Okay, v'shem yishto na'ami, v'shem shnei manav machlon v'chilyon, Ephrasim, also the Gra darshins that Ephrasim is also a lashon of chashivus, v'beis lachem Yehuda, v'yavo stei Moav, v'yiyu sham. That they came to Moab, and v'yiyu sham is a lashon of, they fit in there, they were comfortable there. Okay, now who's Moab? What is Moab known for? Right, the whole reason why Moab is excluded from Klal Yisrael, they can't be Miskayer and join Klal Yisrael, is Shalok Kidmu Estem Belechem Uvamayim, right? Exactly this Nekuda of Tsarus Ayin, that was their national mita, was a lack of chesed, a lack of concern for other people. And therefore, it's saying that it very fittingly, that when Elimel was running away from the responsibility of leadership and going and showing his Tsarus Ayin by going and leaving Klal Yisrael, so he went and he found a place where he fit in perfectly comfortably, that Moab was exactly that same type of people, that everyone just looked out for themselves and didn't do chesed with other people. Vayamas Elimelech ish na'ami v'tisha'er hi ushnei v'na. So then Elimelech died because of this, as an onesh for his tsaros ayin, and also we can understand that it's also an aspect of not fulfilling his purpose. If the whole purpose of somebody who was a potential melech, a leader of Klal Yisrael, and he shirked that responsibility, so then he loses his sluz kiyum. Vayisu anashim moavios shem achaz arpa v'shem hashenis rus vayeshvu sham kaser shanim. So they married goyim. This is the avera goreris avera, right? That they went to chutzlars. Rashi says that the punishment was bichlal for leaving Eretz Yisrael. They deserve to be punished, and not taking responsibility for the welfare of Klal Yisrael. And then once they were there, then they were yoreid even further to marry in goyim.
And why they thought this was like
okay, not clear, very very not clear. The pashtus in the midrashim that I saw and the mafarshim that I saw is that they at this point they were goyim and there was no tzad hadr to it. It is strange because the whole hemshech about yibum is mashma that they were already miskayer, right? Because there's only yibum if they were already Jews. So it's not entirely clear. The way the Malvin was is he says that the whole Yibum idea was just like a minug, that it wasn't really Alpi Din, it was just like an inyan that they understood, Alpi Pnimius, that there was an inyan of Yibum in that situation. Okay, but Pashas, the Mepharshim take on that this was completely bitis. Okay? Okay, and Vayesh Vusham Kazer Shana, meaning that they settled in. Originally it says Lagura, I think it says that they went temporarily, and then they settled in, they became comfortable there and set up their families there. Okay, now the names Orpa and Rus, Orpa is a lashon of Oref, that she turned her back on Naomi and left. When it really came down to it, she made it she went through the motions as if she was gonna go along, but then she backed out. Rus, there are a few different drashas. Like we said, one is the lashon of Rasa be Divrei Chamosa. There's another lashon of Chazal Rivau, lashon of being Meravez, like satiating Hashem with Shiros and Tishbachos. Not clear why exactly the word Riva is the Iker word that her shame is al shame, this satiating Hashem. Okay, the Gra points out an interesting thing. He says that the gematria of Rus is, it's Tafreshvav, right? So Tafreshvav is Taryag, right? The Taryag mitzvos, right? Minus seven. Okay, in other words, it's saying that she had seven mitzvos as a goy, right? So when she was Mizgayer, she was Mosif Tafreshvav mitzvos. So that's the Shem Rus is Al Shem the Gerus, that she accepted the rest of the mitzvos. Okay, Vayamusu Gam Shneya, Machun V'chilyon, V'tishayer Ha'isha Mishnei Yoladah U'meisha. So now she was left alone, that all of her relatives had died. Batakam hi v'chalosev, v'tashav mistei Moav. So her and her daughters-in-law got up to leave the stei Moav. Ki shama v'stei Moav, ki pakad Hashem es amo latet lahem lafam. That they heard while they were in stei Moav that Hashem had redeemed Klal Yisrael and gave them food. Okay. Now the simple pshat is that they heard that the famine was over. Okay, but presumably that's a little bit difficult. That it's unusual to have a famine that lasts for 10 years. So what exactly changed all of a sudden that they decided to go back? So the Gra explains that he says Shama is a lashon of understanding. In other words, she came to appreciate that the mazel of Klal Yisrael is all dependent on Eretz Yisrael, that you can't run away from your mazel. You can't run away to Chutz Laaretz and expect your mazel to improve, that the whole hashpa of the world comes through Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's no point in staying in Chutz Laaretz. V'teitzi min ha'makom asher ha'isa shama u'shtei chalosei ima v'teilachna v'derech lashuv el Eretz Yehuda. Okay, so Rashi points out here that it says that she left the place, so it says that when a tzaddik leaves the city, that makes a roshan, people feel the loss that the tzaddik is no longer in the city. It's the same loshan that's brought by Yaakov Avinu. Rashi in both places equates those two, which there's an interesting ha'ara just to notice that when we talk about that the glory of the city is lost when the tzaddik leaves. So, Mistama, we understand that Naomi was a tzaddik. So, Mistama, she wasn't a public figure. She wasn't like somebody who was out in the, you know, a politician or whatever, like that makes such a big roshan. It seems like even just a tzaddik who stays in her own home, that just the fact that she's in the area makes a roshan on the people around her, that they feel the kedusha from the presence of a tzaddik. Okay, now the Gra explains that this whole interaction happens when they went to the road that leads to Eretz Yehuda, meaning that initially she thought that they were just being malava her, you know, as she was leaving the city, but then when they got to the crossroads that the road actually turns towards Yehuda, that's when she saw that they were actually planning on accompanying her all the way back to Yehuda. So that's where she turned and suggested that they head back. By Tomer Naami L'shtei Kaloseh, Leich Nashov Na'isha L'beis Ima, Yas Hashem Imachem Chesed Kasher Asisem Imameisim V'imadi. So she says everyone should go back to your own place and Hashem will do Chesed for you. In other words, Naami felt like she wanted to return the favor, that everything that they had done to help her and to take care of the kfura of the mason, that she had hakaras atov to them, but she felt like she was already destitute. She didn't have any possessions. She didn't have any way of helping them. So she gave a tefillah that Hashem will repay you for the chesed. Yitein Hashem lachem umatsena minucha isha beis isha. Okay, so she tells them that each one should go back to their place where they're comfortable and settled, and she like kissed them goodbye. But Tomarna la ki tachna shuv lamech. So they said, no, we're coming with you. We're gonna go back with you. But Tomar Nami shov nabnosai lama tilachna imi haod livanim b'meiay vayu lachem la'anashim. So now he goes through a whole arichus that she explains to them that there's no point in coming with me, meaning that she understood that there was some thought that this idea of yibum, that by marrying a close relative, that somehow brings back the neshama of the mace, that gives some kind of a hemshech to a person who dies without children. So she explains that I'm not going to have any more children, so there's nothing I can do to help you. You won't be able to marry into the family. Okay, by Tomer Nami Shovna, Rosai Lama Tilafna Mi, Haud we bani bimei vahiwa chemwa. Najim, I don't have any hopes of having children. Shovna, but Nasai Lechna, Kiz Yakanti, Miyos Leish, Kiamarti, Yeshli Tikva, Gam Haisi, Awaiwa Leish, Vigam Yaladati Banim, Halahenti Saberna, Ad Asher Yigdulu, Halahenti Agena, Lubilti Yos Leish, Albinosai Kimarli, Maod Mikem, Kiyatsa B Yadashem. Okay, so she says, that like there's nothing to gain by coming with me. So she's telling them that there's nothing I can do to help you. Just everyone should go on their own way. Now the Gra emphasizes here. The Lashon it says ki marli maod mikem. Okay, so the Gra emphasizes that she told them that my biggest Tsar is for you. In other words, even though she personally had suffered so much that she had lost all of her wealth, lost all of her family, that she tells them that I feel more tsar for your situation than I feel for myself. So that's already starting to see this mita of caring for the other person, looking at the other person's situation. That's going to be the mita that we're going to see in Nami and Rus. Yeah.
If they weren't real georses, then why is she saying like I can't have any more kids?
That's what I'm saying. The whole yibum concept in Megillas Rus, the Malbim says is some kind of a minug. Some of the ideas that they saw al piruach hakodesh, they understood that there was some inyan of being mamshich the shame of the mace, even though it wasn't a technical halachic yibum. Okay, batisena kolan. Okay, so Arpa just kissed her and said goodbye, and that's what we said is her whole shame. Arpa is all shame that she turned her back on her and left. The Chazal say terrible things about that very night that she was involved in a whole, completely illicit situation of Znus, and that from that interaction that night was born Goliath. Okay, so we see this balance that a person is on, that if a person has an opportunity to take a step towards Kedusha and he misses it, that there's a chash of a very dramatic Yerida, that the absence of taking advantage of an opportunity can lead to a big Nefila and Yerida to the depths of Tuma. That's what happened to Orpah. Orpah is the lashon of Oref, is the back that she turned her back on Nami. By Tomer Rus Al Tiv Ki Ibi Laazve. I'm sorry. Tezba. By Tomer Hine Shava Yivimtech El Amav El Eloha Shuvi Achare Yivimtech. So she saw right away. She says, "See how your sister-in-law, whatever, has gone back to her nation, Vel Eloha, to their gods." In other words, she saw right away that when she left, that's it. She's going back to a life of being a goy in the lowest level of goy. So he says, you should follow her. There's nothing for you to gain by coming with me. Vatomer Rus Al Tiv Ki Laazveich Lashuv Me'acharayich Kiel Asher Telchi Eleich Vasher Telini Alin. So Ruth gives her beautiful speech saying that she is committed to sticking with Nami and accepting everything about joining Klal Yisrael. Chazal make drushas that it's referring to the different mitzvos and the different inyanim that she accepts on herself, the chiyuvei misas beis din, that she understands what's involved in Geirus, that she's accepting for the good and for the bad, that she's that she wants all the consequences of the gears. Okay, so she says, I'm staying with you to the end. Okay, so finally, Naomi sees that she really is earnest, sincere in wanting to be Mizgayer, and therefore she stops pushing her off, and teaches us the Yesod in Gerus, that at first we push them away, we don't encourage it, but once we see that they're sincere, then we accept them with warmth. Okay, now the Gra has a fascinating Ha'ara here. It says that she saw Ki Mis Ametzes Hilal Ephes, that she's straining to walk. So the Gra explains that when a person is doing a mitzvah, that it could be, sometimes it's the Yetzer Tov encouraging them to do a mitzvah, he says, but sometimes when the Yetzer Hara can't get a person to do an Avira, sometimes the Yetzer Hara will push a person to do a mitzvah. And the Yetzer Hara sometimes has tricks up its sleeve, that sometimes it decides that it's worth encouraging people to do a mitzvah, because then he's going to trip them up in some follow-up. It's like a 1-2 punch. He's going to encourage them to do this mitzvah, and then use it as a trick to bring about their downfall. So he says that when a person is doing a mitzvah, you can't always tell if it's lishma. So he says a fascinating hour. He says that the way you can tell is that when a person is doing something lishma, that the goof rebels against it. He says that it's natural that the physical goof of a person is doesn't want to do mitzvahs, doesn't want to be involved in kedusha. And therefore, the goof is going to have resistance to being involved in the mitzvah. And therefore, he says that normally when a person is doing a mitzvah, he feels this resistance of the goof. And when a person feels like his goof is enthusiastic, his goof is going with it, is excited to do a mitzvah, he says you have to be choshesh, that it's the Yetzer Hara that's pushing you to do the mitzvah. When it's the Yetzer Hara that's pushing you to do the mitzvah, then the goof is all on board. But when it's the Yetzer Tov, then the goof is rebelling against it. Okay, so the Gra says that he saw that she was Misa Ametzes, that she had to push herself, she had to strain to get her goof to go. So that was a siman that it was really lishma. Okay, that's the Hara of the Gra. I heard on along a similar line, Mistama, he was basing himself on the Gra. I heard from Revolbi, that's how he used to. I heard a few times from this Har that he would say that it, what does it mean to have kavana when you say kriyashma? So he used to say that when you say kriyashma, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he says if you don't feel that your goof is rebelling, saying no, I don't want to do it. He says if you don't feel that, then you haven't really said kriyashma b'kavana. But if you really mean that you're being mishabed yourself completely to Avodas Hashem, he says that the goof is going to rebel. It's going to say, no, I don't want it. And you have to overcome that resistance of the goof. He says, if you haven't felt that, then you haven't really said Kriya Shra, the Kedusha, the Kavanah. Okay. Fine. So, Pazi Yud Tes, V'teilach Nashtem, Adwana Beis Lechem, V'yi Kevona Beis Lechem, V'teom Kol Ha'ir Alein, V'tomarna Hazos Nami. Okay, so when they got back to Beis Lechem, where they were originally from, the whole city was shocked to see how low Naomi had fallen. That they had left as these wealthy, Chashev family, and they had gone to avoid the famine. And now she comes back. She lost her whole family. They had lost all of their wealth. She comes back as a nobody, as a pauper, and the city is amazed to see the tremendous difference that she's undergone. Vatomer Elin, Al Tigran Eli Naomi, Karen Eli Mara, Ki Hamar Shadaili Amod. Okay, so she says, don't call me Naomi anymore, because the Ashkafa has changed, that Hashem has punished me and made my life Mar. One second. Yeah. Sorry, just one second. Let me just remember. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so he says like this. He says... Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So he says it like this. He says that the onesh that she suffered, that she attributed because to the lack of chesed, of the lack of taking care of the aniyim. So the lashon, right, so the lashon of the pasuk, it says like this. Let's read one more second. Ani malei ha'lachti v'reikam heshivani Hashem. Lama tigrena li nami v'ashem ana bi v'shadai hirali. Okay, so she says that I left when I was full, meaning a full family and a full of wealth, and now I come back empty. So therefore, why do you call me nami? V'ashem ana bi v'shadai hirali. That Hashem afflicted me and Shakai, another name of Hashem, punished me. Okay, so the shame Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is generally referred to as a midah of rachamim. Okay, usually Elohim is din and Hashem is rachamim. So what does it mean, Hashem anabi? That Hashem, the midah of rachamim, afflicted me. So the Gra explains that the worst punishments are the punishment that come from midas rachamim. What does it mean, a punishment that comes from midas rachamim? That Naomi was saying that because I didn't take care of Klal Yisrael, I meaning with my family, with Elimelech, because we didn't take care of the Aniyim, right? So Hashem had Rachmanus on the Aniyim and therefore punished us. So he says that the punishment of Elimelech and his sons was that Hashem was coming from Midas Rachamim, that Hashem was upholding the Taina of the Aniyim, that how could you leave us in our time of need and not take care of us? That Rachmanus that Hashem had for Klal Yisrael, that brought about the onesh to Elimelech's family. So that's why she says, don't call me Nami, because I have no hope that when you get punished by Midas Adin, so after the punishment is over, then Hashem kilu lets up, then there's no reason to continue punishing. So he says that a punishment that comes from Midas Rachamim, there's no hope of it ending, that Hashem's Rachmanus is so strong for Klal Yisrael that she says I'm sure that it's going to continue to be ra for me because it's coming from Hashem's midah of rachamim. Okay, the Gra doesn't speak this out, but l'chora we see that in the end that the gzera is overturned, because then all of a sudden that she does become the great grandmother of Malchus, so the gzera is overturned. So l'chora it's because of this change that when Rus and Naomi herself show the midah of chesed and the midah of caring for Klal Yisrael, so then the gzera is in fact overturned. Okay. Vatashav Naomi Rus Hamovia Kalasa Ima Hashav Miste Moav Vehema Bao Bezvatam Betchilas Ktsir Sor. Okay, so it says they came back from Moab and they reached Bezvatam during the beginning of the time of the harvest. Ulanami Moda Leisha, Ish Gibor Chayel, Mimishpachas Elimelech, Ushmo Boaz. Okay, so they had a close relative who was a Chashuv leader, he was one of the Shoftim, and his name was Boaz. But Tomer Rus Hamovia El Nami, El Chana Hasada, Vahalakta Beshibolim, Achar Sher Emsachin Beinav, Vatomer La Lechibiti. Okay, so she says, I'm going to go and pick up the leftover wheat from the harvest. I'll find somebody who will find favor in their eyes, that meaning that they'll be masking to let me come and pick up the leftovers of their harvest. In the Gra darshins that she was picking up the manos aniyim, the leket shichah and peah. It says their diukim that she was makbid on the halachas, that she knew exactly how to pick up the leket shichah and peah. So she would follow the kotzrim, right, and pick up what was left over. And it happened by coincidence, obviously, hashkacha, that she came upon the field of Boaz, and that's where she started gathering the wheat. Vine boaz ba mives lachem, vayomer lekotrim, Hashem imachem, vayomru lo yivrach Hashem. Okay, so he blessed them, and they blessed him back. The Gra explains that this interaction was a question and answer. That when he said Hashem imachem, it was asking a question. In other words, he saw this girl hanging out with the Kotrim, so he knew that the Shechina is only Shora in a place of Kedusha. So if there's Nus, then the Shechina is Misalik. So he was asking the question. He says, Hashem imachem, is Hashem still with you? Meaning that do I have to worry that there was any Znus going on with this girl hanging around with the Kotrim? So they said, no, that Yivrach Hashem, that everything's good, that she's a Tznius, proper girl, that she's not making trouble. Vayomer Boaz l'naro, and he tzav al kotrim l'mi anara azotz. So he asked what the nature of this girl is, what's she doing here? Vayan anar hanitzav al kotrim vayomer nara moaviyahi hashava imnami misteh moav. That she's Moaviyah, and she came back with Nami. Vatomer alakta na vasafti ba'amarim achareya kotrim. So she asked if she can... she asked permission to come and pick up the leftover the sowing that fell from the harvest. Okay, here's where the Gra's medayik that she says alakta na ve asafti ba'amarim, that's the leket and the shichcha. She was medactic in the halachas. Vatovo v'tamod me'aza boker, and she stood the entire day. Ve'adata ze shiv. Ta habayit mat. She barely went inside at all. She was out working the whole day. In other words, so he was mishabeach her in her zrizus that she was such a hard worker. He was mishabeach her for her dikduk in halacha, that she knew how to take lack of chilvan peah. And also they say that the fact that ta'amod, that she stood and she didn't bend over, that was also an inyan of tznius, that she showed that she acted with proper tznius. Vayomer Boaz el Rus, halo shamat biti, al telchi lilkot basada acher, v'gam lo ta'avori mizeh, v'choti bakim im narosai. Okay, so you see that he right away is mekariv, or he refers to her as biti. In other words, he acknowledges the close family connection, and he tells her not to go to other fields, that she should only stay with his in his field. And he points out to her, he says that she should stay with the Na'aros. In other words, there's a diuk here that she started off among the male workers. So Boaz is pointing out to her that that she should stay among the women, that it's not proper at Sneas to be among the men, even if she is acting properly.
I think may,
what's that?
And it may also be a Calvin
or Geras? No. No, you don't see that at this point. The peers that I'm going with, based on the Grand Malbim, seems that they assume that she was not yet Miskar. Okay.
One second. How long was she in Israel for by this point?
She just, as soon as they came back, she came back at the Tchilas Kitzirat Hasorim. That was the last pasuk of the previous paragraph. Okay. Vayomer Boaz, I'm sorry. One second. Yeah, okay. Now, the puzzle test. Einayich basada, your eyes should be on the field. Ashir yik tsorun, where the katsira is happening. Va'alach achareyan. And you should follow the harvesters. Halo tzivisi asanarim lebildi nigeich. I gave them instructions to not to bother you. Okay, he said, if you get thirsty, you can always go and take water. In other words, it was a whole tircha to go and draw water from the well, so they would fill up their kelim with water. So he was telling her that she can take from their kelim. Okay, now there's an amazing thing here. The it's actually a Zohar that points out this lashon einayich basada. Your eyes should be on the field. Okay, so we know that in Bava Basra talks about the idea of hezek re'iyah, right? That when a person looks at somebody else's field, when it's in full growth, that causes what's called an ayin hara, that you're not, it's an issue, you're not allowed to look at somebody else's field when it's growing because it causes an ayin hara, which damages the growth of the field. Okay, so here, Boaz specifically told Ruth, einayich basada, your eyes should be on the field. In other words, the Zohar explains that he saw that Ruth had this mita of ayin tova, and an ayin tova yivorach, that an ayin tova causes bracha. Okay, so we see that there's an inverse, just like an ayin hara stunts the growth and causes things to deteriorate. So somebody who looks at the world with an ayin tova, when they look at something, that causes bracha. Okay, so that's the big yesod that we're seeing, this issue of Ruth being lashon of re'ia, of ayin tova, that Boaz recognized that right away and said that Dafka, I want you to look at the field because your ayin tova is going to cause bracha. V'tibol v'na v'tishtachavu arza v'tomer elav madua matzasi chen v'inecha l'akireni v'anochi nachria. So she fell on the floor and bowed down to him, and she said, why have I found favor in your eyes, and I'm a foreigner or a stranger? Okay. Now the Gra explains that there was some kind of an ambivalence going on, that on the one hand he was makarever, on the one hand he called her BT, and then on the other hand he seems to be pushing her up and saying, like, all I'm going to do for you is just let you pick up the wheat from the field. So the Gra explains that she was reacting to that ambivalence. In other words, she was saying, like, what are you thinking? Do you consider me a relative that you're going to be makariv and take care of me, or am I just a foreigner that you're just doing stuff for? Bayan Boaz, Bayomer La, Hugadli, Koasher Asit Esa Hamoseich, Acharei Mosi Sheikh, that they've told me about everything you did for your mother-in-law after your husband died. V'tazvi avich v'imeich v'eretz moladeteich v'telchi el am asher lo yadat t'mol shalshom, that the fact that you left your family in the place where you grew up and you came to a new nation that you never knew about, yishalim Hashem paleich utihim eskorteich shlema me'im Hashem olkei Yisrael asher bat l'chasos tachas k'nafo. Okay, so he says that your schar will be complete for the fact that you came and joined Klal Yisrael. The Gra explains that there's a special shlemus in the schar of a ger that for Klal Yisrael, we have a debt to Hashem for the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. So he says that there's a special shlemus that a ger who doesn't owe Hashem anything, he's not meshubad to the mitzvahs of Hashem, and he accepts it willingly. So he says that he has this maskorto shlema. He has is more of a shlemus of a, and also he refers to it as maskorot, that you deserve the reward because you're doing it. You're doing it willingly without having a debt based on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vatomer em tachin beinecha adoni ki nichantani v'chi dibarta al leiv shivchaseich v'anochi lo eyeh ka'achas shivchosecha. So she says that you've appeased me, you've made me feel better because you've spoken so kindly to me, and I'm just a lowly person. I'm not even on the level of your servants. V'yomer la Boaz le'es ha'ochel gishi ha'lom v'achal min alechem v'tavalt piteich v'chometz. So when it was time to eat, that he invited her in and he gave her to dip her bread. V'teishav mitzad ha'kotzrim v'yitzvat la'kali v'tochal v'tizvat v'todar. He roasted the wheat for her to make it more tasty, and she ate and was satiated, and she still had leftover to take back to Noam. Batakam ulakeit v'yitzav Boaz es na'arv lemor gam bein amarim t'lakeit v'lo t'aflimuah. They let her take as much as she wants, even from the gathered, the stalks that are already gathered, let her take as much as she wants and don't bother. V'gam shol t'asholula min ha'tzvatim v'azatem v'likta v'lo t'igaruba. Okay, you should daf the leave over extra for her and don't interfere with her. Batalake basada ad ha'erev, batachbot eis asher liketa. So she continued gathering until the evening, and she threshed whatever she had gathered. Vayhi ke'efa so'orim. What was left was an efa amount of so'orim. Batiza vatavo ha'er, vatero chamosa eis asher liketa. She came home to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gathered. Vatotze vatiden la es asher otira misava. And she gave to her mother-in-law everything that was left after she had already been satiated from the meal that she ate in the field. Okay, now there's an amazing ha'ara here the Gra points out. It says, Vatera chamosa es asher liketa, that Naomi saw what she had gathered. Okay, now the truth is that Naomi never saw how much she gathered, right? Because what does it say? She gathered the wheat and then she threshed it so that she wouldn't have to, she can't go carry back to the city the sheaves of wheat, right? She has all she can, so she has to bang out the kernel, and then she just has the kernels of the actual grain, and that's what she takes back, right? So what does it mean that she saw how much she had gathered? Right, she saw was the actual kernels of grain that she took back. So the Gra explains that this was the Ayin Tova of Naomi. Naomi, when she saw how much the grain itself was, she thought back. She said, "Oh wow! If that's how much grain you have, you must have gathered a whole huge amount of sheaves of wheat. That must have been hard work." In other words, she appreciated even what wasn't apparent. Right, because just seeing a bag of wheat, you don't naturally think about what went into gathering and harvesting that. So that was the Ayin Tov of Naomi, that she saw and appreciated all of the work that Ruth had done to gather this wheat. Vatomer lachamosa efo liket hayom. So she asked her where she had gathered this all. Va'ana asit. Vana, see, where did you do this? Yehi makireich baruch. The person who recognized you and did you this favor should be blessed. Vatagid lachamosa es asher asa imo vatomer shem ha'ish asher asis imo hayom Boaz. That Boaz was the name of the person who did this. Vatomer nami lachal asa baruch hu v'ashem asher lo azav chasto es ha'chaim v'es ha'mesi. Vatomer la nami karu v'anu ha'ish migual leinuhu. So she explained that this is a chesed of Hashem, that he brought about the mikra, that she happened to go to Boaz because he's a relative, and I see that Hashem hasn't stopped doing chesed for the chaim and for the mason. Okay, this is the idea that she already started to have the thought that maybe Boaz was going to do this pseudo yibum to be making the shame of the mace. So this is considered a chesed for the mason, that the mace doesn't have a hemsheth, right? He died without a son. He doesn't have a hemsheth in this world. And by being making shem lachiv, it's giving a hemsheth to the neshama of the mace. So that's so yibum is considered to be a chesed for the mace also. Vatomer rus ha-moavya gam kiamar elai. Im hanarim asher li tibakin ad im kilu es kol akitzira asher li. Okay, she said that he invited me to continue harvesting there until we finish the harvest. Vatomer nami el rus kalasat tov biti ki teitzi im narosav v'lo yifgubach basada acher. So she also emphasized the issue of staying with the naros and not the narim, right? And you should stay with his in that field. Vatibak benaros boaz lilakit ad close kitzira saurim uktzira chitim. Okay, so she stayed for the entire season of the harvesting of the sorim, the barley, and then the wheat, the next season that comes after, and she stayed there the whole time. But Teshev Eskamosa, that she kept going back. In other words, as much as she needed to work, she worked, and when she, as much as she could, she stayed at home with to keep Naomi company. Okay, now, the Chazal say that this period of time of the harvest of the sorim and the chitim is 3 months, and the reason why Boaz waited was because there's a din by Gerus that you have to wait 3 months of havchana, that you have to wait 3 months in order to, because of the possibility of a premature birth. So for 3 months you don't know if the conception was from a previous relationship or from the new husband. So therefore, whenever there's a gerus, you have to wait 3 months to make sure that the child that's born is a Jew. Okay, so that's why he waited this period of time, was for this din of havchan. Vatomer la Naomi chamosa biti alo avakeshlach manoach asher yitavlach. So Naomi says, I'm looking out for your long term good. In other words, I don't want you just to take care of me. I want you to find a permanent settled situation. Vata alo boaz mudatanu asher hayit es narusag. Hinehu zora es goren hasorim halayla. Okay, so she had this inside scoop that he's coming to the threshing floor tonight. V'rachatz v'sacht v'samt simosayich v'alayif v'yaradet ha-goren alti v'adi l'ish ad kalos l'achol v'lishtos. So she gave this whole plan about how you should go to Boaz secretly at night and prepare yourself and make yourself beautiful and go and appeal to Boaz to do this yibu. That you should figure out where he's going to be sleeping. You should uncover his feet and lie down next to him. And he'll tell you how to proceed from there. Okay. So the Malbim explains that, what does it mean to uncover his feet? Okay. So we know that the alternative to Yibum is Chalitza. Right, if a person's not going to do yibum, they have to do chalitza, which involves taking off the shoe. So the symbolism the Malbim explains is that the shoe is like the interface between the person and the physical world. So he says that the goof is like the shoe of the neshama, that a physical body is like the shoe, it's the interface where the neshama comes into the world. So the Malbim explains that that's the inyan of Yibum. That Yibum is that the neshama of the mace doesn't have a hemshech in the world, and therefore the Yibum, the new son that's born, brings some connection of the neshama of the father, comes back into the son, and that's the shoe of the neshama of the mace. So therefore, when a person does chalitza, when a person refuses to do yibum, what they're saying is that I refuse to give to put the shoe ki'ilu on the neshama of the mace. Okay, so that's why the symbolism of refusing to do yibum is this act of chalitza. I'm taking off the shoe. Okay, so that's the Malbim explains that's what she was doing here. She was being merames. That aren't you going to do yibum, right? In other words, the fact that you're not being miyabim me is like uncovering your shoe. You're doing chalitza and you're doing an avla to the mace that he doesn't have this capability of settling in the world. Vatomer la kol asher tomri elai ss. So she accepted Naomi's instructions. Vatira dagona goren v'tas kol asher tziv safamosa. She did everything that she was told. Vayokal bolis vayesh vayitav libo. That he was sleeping on the side of the pile by himself. So she did this. She came and uncovered his feet as this symbolic gesture of hinting to him the fact that he needs to do yibum.
Is the chalitza also just like kind of like a minog?
Yeah, we said since they were going with time, so it's not a halachic chalitza or yibum, but she's telling him that somehow. That they understood that this inyan did apply to the situation. So he was surprised to see her. He thought it was a shade or something, and then he was megal that it was really a woman there. So she presents to him this situation that you have the potential to be the goel, the redeemer of the hemshech of the mace, and therefore she's appealing to him to fulfill that responsibility. Yomer brucha at Hashem biti heitam chasdech ha'acharon min harishon. So he acknowledged the chesed in what she was doing. In other words, the fact that the Midrashim say that he was a very old person, they say he died right afterwards, he was 100 years old, I think. So the fact that you're offering to marry a close relative of the mace in order to be making shame, and you're sacrificing your own comfort, your own convenience of marrying someone more of a more marriageable age and situation. So he acknowledged that she's doing this out of chesed to the mason. So he said that this chesed is your greatest chesed, beyond all the chesed that you've done for your husband before, for Naomi in taking care of her, gathering the wheat and taking care of her. So this chesed is your greatest chesed. That you didn't go and look for a young person. So he says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of the situation. One way or another, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And he said that you already developed a reputation as an Eshes Chayil, as a person of merit that would be a respectable marriage for me to accept. V'ata ki amnam ki im goel anochi v'gam yesh goel karov mimeni. However, he acknowledged that even though he was a relative, that there was a closer relative. Lini alayla v'haya b'boger im yigalich tov yigal v'im lo yachpots l'galich u'galtich anochi chayashem. Okay, so he said that stay tonight and don't risk going out by yourself at night. You'll go back in the morning, but I can't be meyavim you on the spot because we have to first see if the person who has priority wants to do that.
Okay? She forgot about the person.
No, so presumably she realized the difficulty. We're going to see that there was a whole discussion about marrying a Moavi. So because Boaz had already shown favor, presumably she selected him as the first person to approach. Okay, so so now the Gemara says that Tov was actually his name. Okay, the person's name was actually Tov. We're going to see he's referred to as Ploni Almoni because he falls into... what's it called? He becomes anonymous, right? Anonymity because he refuses to step up and take responsibility in the time that he has the opportunity. Okay, the fine. So he says that that if he doesn't take the responsibility, then I will. But Tishkav Margolosav Ada Boker Vatakam Ba Beterem Yakir Isha Esreu Vayomer. Because he wants to keep it secret that they have this meeting, and give the closer relative the opportunity. So he asked for her handkerchief. She gave it to him. So he gave her a, it says six sorim. The Malbim explains that it means a sixth of a measure. And the Malbim makes a calculation. He says that basically it was one day's worth of food. So the message was that first of all, he's taking care of her, that she and Naomi should have what to eat for the day. But he specifically gave her just the minimum amount to show that he's going to resolve it as soon as possible. That he's not going to let it, it's not something he's going to let it slide. He's going to deal with it immediately. Batavo el chamosa vatomer miat biti. It was still dark, first thing in the morning. She didn't recognize her. Batagidla eskol asher asala aishi. Explained what had happened. Batomer sheisha zorin ma'ela nasan li ki amar elai al tavoi rekam el chamoseich. So he was concerned that she shouldn't be needy for that one day. Batomer shvi biti ad asher tedin echi pol davar ki lo yishkod aish ki im kiwa davar hayom. So she understood the remez that he's obviously planning on dealing with this immediately, and that's why he just sent food for one day. Uvoaz Allah Shar Vayeshev Sham Vinea Goel Over Asher Diber Boaz Vayomer Sura Shva Po Ploni Almoni. Basically, he's referred to as Ploni Almoni, which becomes Lidore Doris, the way of referring to an anonymous person.
Is that his
No, that's what I'm saying. The Chazal say his name was actually Tov, the name that he was referred to before. Migalech Tov, that was his name, and he's referred to as Poni Almoni because he didn't take the opportunity that was presented to him. He became a nameless person. Vayasar Vayeshev, so he came and he sat down. Vayikach Asara Anashim Mizigne Ha'ir, so he took 10 people. Vayomer Shvu Po Vayeshev, he took 10 of the Zakenim and sat them down. Now there's two reasons brought. The Malbim explains, I think both of them are Alpi Chazal, that he wanted to publicly publicize the halacha of Moavi Goloma Moavia, right? That was the big issue here, is that Moab is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, so therefore he needed to be mechadish the halacha that halacha only applies to male Moavim, but a female Moavi is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So he specifically wanted to publicize that psak before he married her. That once he already married, once he already was miyabimer, once he was already married, then people would say, and it could be even halachically, it would be true that he would be no gabadavar and his psak wouldn't be valid. So first he wanted to publicize it before he married her, and then he would go ahead and take her. Okay? The second reason is Birchas Chasanim, that he wanted to have 10 people to make Birchas Chasanim. That we actually learn out the din of Birchas Chasanim from here. But Yomer Ligoel Chelkas Asada Asher La'achinu Velimelech Machra Naami Hashavim Mistei Moav. So he explained to him the fact that Naami needed to sell her field. The Malbim says she hadn't actually sold it. She was looking for somebody to buy it, and it was appropriate that a relative should buy it so that the field would stay in the family. Okay, so he said that Naomi needs to sell her field because she has no money. She needs to sell it to get money to live on. Vani amarti agala azne flemor kine neged ayoshim neged zigne ami im tigal gaal vim lo yigal hagida li veida ki ein zula chali gol manuchi acharecha vayomer anuchi egal. Okay, so he said, I'm giving you the option. You have first dibs. If you want to buy this field, go ahead. And if not, I'm the next in line. I'm willing to buy it. So as far as buying the field, so Poni Almoni was willing to do that. Vayomer Boaz biyom kenos ha'aseder. Oh, but there's a clause, right? There's a stipulation attached that when you buy this field, meis rus ha'moaviyah, eshes ha'meis, kanis la'akim shem ha'meis al nachlaso. Okay, see? But there's a catch that now you're going to have to also accept Rus. That's part of taking over the role of the mace, is to also be make him shame through marrying his wife. Vayomar agoa lo chali go li pen ashchisa es nachalasi. That I can't do that. It's going to ruin my nachala, my yichus ga'alecha ata et guasi. You go ahead and do it because I can't take the responsibility for this. Okay. So now, so what's he saying? So first of all, what does it mean? Ashkisa is not plasi. So first of all, he was afraid of this psak. In other words, he wasn't willing to stand up for the psak of Boaz that you're allowed to marry Moaviah. That he said, I'm worried about public opinion. People might think that she's psula, and they're gonna apostle my descendants. So he was worried. He wasn't willing to stand up for the psak and take responsibility for the fact that she was, that it was mutter to marry her. And also, the Malbim explains that I'm ruining my nachla, meaning that the son who's going to be born from this marriage is going to be shayach to the mace and not to myself, and therefore I'm ruining my own future by giving from my kolchos to uphold the name of the deceased. Okay, this is exactly the chait of heir, that he wouldn't do the miyabim, the wife of Onan, because of this thing. He says that it won't be called on my name. So why should I take care of this kid my whole life if he's not really my descendant, if he's really shy to the mace? Okay, so we see that the emphasis in this pasuk is everything is coming from selfishness, right? It starts off, lo chali gol li. I can't do it for myself. What's in it for me, right? He's looking at it from his own perspective. Oh, why should I go to all the trouble of having a child and raising a child if he's not on, if he doesn't go by my name, if it's not a hemshech of my descendants, right? And maybe it's going to look bad for me. People are going to look down on me for marrying a Moaviah. Okay, so he was looking for it from a selfish perspective, so he passed on it. So we see the godless of Boaz, that Boaz didn't make these cheshbonos, that Boaz was willing to do chesed for the mace, and Boaz was willing to stand by his psak of Moaviah. And that also has a bechina of ayin tov. In other words, it's also a bechina of looking beneath the surface. Don't take things superficially and say, oh, the Torah says Moab, I can't marry her. No, think about it. Look into it. Is this really a situation that's asur or not? And if it's a situation where you can do chesed for the mace and it's beheter, so you're ma'ayin, you look into it carefully and you see what can be done. Mizos lefanim b'Yisrael ala gulav ala tmura l'kayim kol davar shalaf ish. So they did Kenyan Chalipin to that he gave up his rights to be goal of the field. He took off his shoe to make the Kenyan of the transaction, giving over his rights to Boaz. So he said that everyone sees the Kenyan that I'm acquiring the hemshech of the deceased. His whole kavan was vakim shem hamase. It's all a chesed for the mace. So he says that everyone is witnesses to the fact that I'm doing this for the purpose of me making shame on mace. One second, I'm just looking. There was one duke I wanted to point out. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's still coming up. Okay, good. Okay, so we said, "Vayomru kol ha'am asher b'shar v'azkenim edim yit edim." So they said they acknowledged that they're witnesses to this. Yitain Hashem es ha'isha ba el beisecha kirachol cholea asher banu shteim es beis Yisrael v'asei chayo be'afrasa ukras shem beveis lachem. Okay, so they gave him a big bracha that they should build Klal Yisrael like the descendants of Rachel and Leah. Vayi beischa kiveis peretz asher yalda Tamar liYehuda minazer asher yitein Hashem lecha minanar azos. Okay, so he acknowledged that this is a bechina of Yibum, just like what happened with Peretz. It also was like a pseudo Yibum, right? Because there was the father. So this also has an aspect of make him shame l'meis. Okay, so here there's a diuk. It says vayikach Boaz es rus vati lo liisha vayavo elah. So it says that first they did a lekicha, which is a lashon of kiddushin, and then vayavo alav. Okay, so the Malbim points out. So you see here that it wasn't really halachic yibum, right? Because halachic yibum, there's no need for kiddushin. Halachic yibum is just through bia. So the fact that it says vayikach shows that because they were originally goyim, she was originally a goya, so therefore there was no halachic yibum. But like we said, there was some inyan of Yibum that they realized that in Pnimius that there wasn't the ability to they were able to be making shame la mix.
So which point did she convert?
I think as soon as she came back with Naomi. I think as soon as she came back with Naomi, it already said in the Pesukim there that she joined Klal Yisrael.
That's what was about the Goas from doing Yibum in the spot with him.
What?
That was preventing Goas from
doing Yibum. Well, because he needed the Kiddushin. Interesting, maybe. But no, you don't need to say that because he was still waiting. He still had an answer from. He was still waiting to hear from the Goel, right? So anyway, he couldn't do.
Can you say it was Maimer?
Maimer is Drobanan.
Yeah, but it would also be a
Kiddushin. Yeah, like Pashto's a later Tekhana, I would think. Okay. Vayitin Hashem la hirayon v'tilat ben. So Hashem blessed her with a son. V'tomar na nashim el nami baruch Hashem asher lo yishpiz lach goel hayom v'yikrei shmo b'Yisrael. It's a lashon. We use this in Bris Milah, but it's a lashon of greatness that he became well known. Vayalach l'meishi, or I'm sorry, a bracha that he will become well known. He'll be a famous person. Vayalach l'meishi nefesh ulechalkel es sevaseich, that now you have a son to take care of you in your old age. Ki kalaseich shahevaseich yaladito asher hi tovalach mishiva banim, that this cow of yours has now given, who loves you so much, has given birth to the son. Vatigav nami as ayelad v'tishiseu b'cheka v'tihi lo lo menes, that she nursed this baby. V'tikrena lo ashkenim shem lemor yulad ben l'nami, that people refer to it as a son born to Nami. V'tikrena shemo Oved hu avi Yishai avi David. Okay, so the people referred to it as son to Nami, meaning that it was a hemshech of her son who had died, was having a hemshech through this Yibum process. Okay, and he was called Oved, that he was an Eved Hashem, Avi Yishai, Avi David. Ela told us parents, holy as Chetzron, Chetzron holy as Ram, Ram holy as Aminadav, Aminadav holy as Nachshon, Nachshon holy as Salma, the Salmon holy as Boaz, Boaz holy as Oved. Ovid holy as Yishai, Yishai holy as David. So that's the line of Malchus. Okay, and then let's just sum up. So that is what we see, that the Megillus Rus is full of chesed, of Naomi and Rus and Boaz, that all of them have this koach of Ayin Tova, of seeing the good in situations, looking to help people, looking for the good of the mace, doing things in a selfless way that's not looking out for their own good, but for the good of others. And that is the yisod that we need to establish the koach that we need of the Ayin Tova, which is the koach of Malchus, which becomes the Malchus of Beis David and the Malchus of Mashiach.
Right.